This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home.
Yeah, Frank here has got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
Billiard room.
No, not billiard, not the billiards. It was
billiards room.
Come on already. Come on, we call it the
Place to Be.
The Place to Be, yes, the Place to Be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game!
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling, so...
That's what she said!
Why do I want this? I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Place to Be Nation, Scott Criscola and Justin Rosero. This is the Place to Be Podcast.
Very nice, Mr. Criscola.
Oh, I'm sorry, Dennis.
D'Lo Brown interfered with a frog splash and hit it on Severin, getting some revenge.
I know.
What the hell was it? What was that laugh? It was like an old cartoon fucking Hanna-Barbera dog or something. It was like Snidely? Was that the fucking dog that laughed like that?
JR's got a little more time than I do to sit and actually write a whole show.
This is the third time you said it to me today now. I'm really curious.
Well, I'm not saying that you have nothing to do. I'm just saying
I'm curious
day,
how. I'm curious how I have more free time than
no,
you.
No, I'm going to...
What does that mean?
I don't know.
I know it's been a rough, and I'm not used to this long, grueling podcast schedule.
Oh, for fuck's sakes. Are you going to just joke and go on for the next hour?
Fun. Did you say D'Amato, late 20s, 30s?
Just being...
And you included yourself in that as well?
I was being nice to him. I am still technically in my 30s.
I think they might hit a shock wall.
What the fuck is a shock wall?
Is that the Shockmaster's wall?
You got to fall through the shock wall.
Yeah, I like Big Dick myself. PTB Nation. Let me know what
you're
doing.
Our opener.
To do worse than Josh Richard. Somebody's trying to make me stay. You know I got to be moving on. Oh, big old jet and lino. Don't carry me too far away. Oh, big old jet and lino. Cause it's here that I got to stay.
Goodbye to all. Place to Be Nation! Welcome back to another great episode of the One Only Place to Be Podcast. I am your co-host, Justin Rosero, coming at you live on this Tuesday evening. Mixing things up a little bit. My PIC had a big grand night meeting. A lot of big business to take care of. Hopefully he was running some guys out of town. It's my dream anyway. And of course, my PIC, Scott Criscola. Scott, how you doing?
Good evening, JR. Good evening, Place to Be Nation. Welcome to episode 243 of the Place to Be Podcast. Actually, we were talking about an event coming up in September, but new bishop in the Diocese of Bridgeport. We're talking about that too. He's from Brooklyn, actually, and he likes Italian food. So
Marshawn
fits right
Brooks.
In. Marshawn Brooks, yes. Unfortunately, Marshawn Brooks not playing there anymore, which is kind of sad.
Good for him, though, still. I contend it was a good move for him.
Well, he's definitely going to get more minutes. He might not get many more wins, but he'll get...
As depressed as he looked in the introductory picture. That was the most depressing picture of all time.
Yeah, he had a green tie on and everything. He looks so spiffy, and he's got this look like he just like his dog just got shot.
Scott, I know I'm not one to be able to get excited about any baseball right now. Mm-hmm. This Red Sox inning against the Astros has been a fucking train wreck. There's been the Astros have had a stolen base, mm-hmm. and there's been three wild pitches, two which have led to runs.
Oh God!
In this inning alone, in the first inning,
ugh,
this a disaster behind the plate going on right now. It's pretty entertaining. So. On the first wild pitch, the guy was on third. He didn't even go. And then on the next pitch, he threw another wild pitch. He scored. And then there was just another one, and the guy who went to third fucking scored.
Oh, my God. What a mess. At the juice?
At the juice.
Kind of weird. What do you think about that? It seemed like all these weird ballparks. The Yankees haven't gone there yet, right?
No, I think they played them at home.
They did play them at home back in, like, what, early May, I think.
Yeah, it's been a while, so I'm sure they're going to be heading there soon, but whatever. They're basically along with them, and the White Sox is the worst teams in baseball, so it doesn't matter at this point.
Well, the Mets called up one of their young guys, because we're getting to that point now, 11 games under, although they are beating Colorado right now, not that that matters.
This is the earliest, I mean, 08 I kind of checked out early, but we're close. At least 08 you kind of had the end of the stadium thing going on, so it was like, I guess we got the end of Mo going
on. They got Mariano, so. But this is different, the whole, you know, the old A-Rod and the... and all that stuff.
Well, it's weird because they're only like two games out of the wild card. So, I mean, it's odd because it feels like they're two or three out, whatever it is. But it's odd because I feel like they're dead and buried in this. But, I mean, God, they're really, you know, one good series against Baltimore and they're pretty much, you know, right back in the mix. So
yeah, exactly. There might be an article coming up in the next couple weeks on placetobenation.com. Because a lot of people, a lot of sportscasters, Tim Brando, one of them, so pissed off. He hates baseball. He's so pissed off at baseball. It's all about the big markets, and the big markets love this biogenesis story, and they're eating it up, and it's not about the small market teams. Nobody cares about the Pirates. Nobody cares about the Braves. And I'm like, that's a bunch of crap. First off, baseball is a very regional sport. It's not like football. And the Pirate fans, you know, you go on boards and like CBSSports.com and other stuff. Pirate fans are very excited. Braves fans are excited. I mean, they're in first place. But, you know, Atlanta's always been an apathetic city anyway. You know, division
and
series
pathetic
games.
Pathetic as well. But.
Yeah, that too. But, you know, division series. I kill for division series games at Citi Field. You go to Turner Field and it's half empty. It's crazy.
And I know where you're going with it, but I kind of agree with that sentiment a little bit. But I don't blame the media or the big – I blame baseball. I blame them for making the shit front and center and overshadowing their own events. They overshadowed the All-Star game. They overshadowed the trade deadline. And instead of focusing on these young stars and these hot markets that are burgeoning, like Pittsburgh and Baltimore, and you guys are Chris Davis and Andrew McCutcheon and Jason Hayward and, yeah, Ted David Price and all these young guys, and what do we see the focus is on? These bums like A-Rod that are washed up and probably playing his last 20 games of his career, you know? It's like... Focus on your future. Focus on what's important. You think the NBA would ever focus on shit like this and make it front and center? No, they're always pushing their superstars.
Right. Exactly.
You know?
They're not pushing the guys that are getting in car accidents or, you know, getting drunk and all this other. They're focused on
They bury that stuff.
Yeah.
MLB's the one leaking all this shit. The confidentiality has been brutal with this whole thing by then.
Yeah. It
has. Awful.
Yeah.
And for the people that are complaining about A-Rod playing, it's like, well, that's the process. That's what the process is that he's permitted to appeal and play. And you know what? Don't give a shit about it because after this, he's probably done for his career. Because if he ends up missing a full season at least, it's going to be very hard for him to come back after being out for a year and a half and then completely come back and start playing again after that. So, and I think now, at that point, there'll be such little money left on the deal. I think it'll be like 3 years and $60 million. The Yankees will probably buy him out.
Now, if he decides that he wants to play in Japan next year, you guys can wipe the deal out, right?
Yes. Yeah, so I think if he plays anywhere else, they can void the deal.
You can play softball.
Nope.
You can play for the Brackheads.
Probably play for those dickheads, Atwood Wine and Spirits down at Atwood. Fit right in. But anyway, we can talk about that next week on Headlines.
Yeah. I just wanted to, because that was a big deal, and Brando was going on this tirade this morning about it. It was pissing me off, but...
Also on the man cave wall here, of course, I mentioned Red Sox Astros. Scott, I have a little bit of global.
Oh,
a little Calvin Knapp taking on Stephen Dane right now.
Calvin Knapp, he used to play for the Celtics. Calvin Knapp, that's funny. Yeah, our boy Scott Hudson, be very proud of you.
Yeah. So I recorded it aired Monday afternoon, and then it's on again tonight from 9. I think it's from like 9 to 6 in the morning, and then tomorrow like 7 to 4 or something like that. Overnight. So I'm recording all of these so I can relive my global memories. It looks like we're in 91 with these early ones, believe. So I don't think I was really watching until about 93-ish. So some of the stuff I've actually never seen. So I'm looking forward to watching it. Anyway.
Yeah, I'm a little bummed because it was like when I had ESPN Classic. Problem is on DirecTV, ESPN Classic and ESPNU flip-flopped. So now I have ESPNU, but ESPN Classic's on the pay tier. But when I had ESPN Classic, I used to record all the AWAs and all those god-awful Herb Abrams UWF nonsense. And those were fun, and I got those tapes in the other room. But I'm bummed. I'm glad that we'll be able to watch some global because it's been a very long time since I've watched it, and I don't have an affection for it as you do, but I'm looking forward to watching it, so it'll be a lot of fun. All right. Speaking of a lot of fun, this show is not that we're talking that we're talking about.
Well, it'll be a lot of fun. But we haven't had a good one to bitch about in a while. WrestleMania kind of a little bit, but we've been on such a hot run.
Yes.
Really, since what, maybe Survivor Series? We haven't really had too much to complain about pay-per-view-wise, so it'll be good to get a little bit of fantasy booking and snarking back in the picture.
Yeah, because this
hey,
show...
Hey, what is going on here?
Ooh, nice tracksuit. 4XL. Why are you still here? Don't tell me you do summer school. poor kids have to sit in this thing? It's like 100 degrees in here.
Hey, you know, some places are back to school already. Back in the backward South, they're already back at school.
Yes. Speaking of maybe the extra work there can teach them the ways of booking. Because tonight we're going to talk about bad booking in Beantown.
The King of the Ring is serious business.
A fabled history and heralded past.
I cannot believe this moment right here.
The King of the Ring.
Kings become champions.
You win the King of the Ring, you become an immediate player.
And champions become legends.
Austin 316 says I just whipped your ass.
Eight men on the verge of superstardom.
I think it's a little bit more.
Was that K-Squared?
I was going to say, I think it's the first time he's actually appeared on the show, not live, via tape.
I think that was K-Squared in the intro. Very
it
nice.
Was. I think there's a little bit more to that. Talk about the main event and all that. But yes. That's
the highlight. Opening. He's the highlight of the show, actually.
Yes, he is.
Yes. Tonight, inside the Vintage Vault on the Place to Be podcast, King of the Ring 2000. Why? Why is it always this month that everybody takes the month off?
It sucks, too, because I remember the hype for this show was big. I remember being so excited. It was a big deal because we had three big days coming up. Me and Jim and Andy, we were going to watch King of the Ring. Mm-hmm. We were actually attending Raw the next night at Worcester, which I'll talk about a little bit later.
Oh, nice.
And then the day after that, we had a big recording. You know what I'm talking about.
But, yes, I do. Yes.
I think it was like 44, maybe, something like that.
Oh, okay. Well, you're in the wheelhouse.
So it was a big 3 days coming. And it was supposed to kick off with the Red Hot King of the Ring. Product was red hot. Shows were awesome. There's another wild pitch by this Boston pitcher.
Jesus.
This is like ugly. I mean, I feel bad. Yes. And then going to Raw the next night, we were pretty hyped. So
nice.
Yeah. A lot of hype coming into the show, Scott. We'll see if it delivers.
Yeah. June 25th, 2000. Live from the Fleet Center in Boston, Massachusetts. Of course, the last time we were in this building, JR, was a very happy moment. The birth of... Well,
the hand?
Yes. No, that was earlier this month, I think.
Oh, okay.
No, the birth, of course, of what many consider the true birth of the Attitude Era, when, of course, Steve Austin won the world title at WrestleMania 14, last time we were in this building. Your attendance, pretty juicy, 15,388. Hot buy rate, 1.19. Let me tell you something. For a King of the Ring, 1.19 is pretty damn good.
They were popping, man. They were. I'm telling you, they were hot. And with the guys looking at this tournament, it was
amazing.
The hype was there. The hype was there. You saw this tournament, and you're looking at it. You're like, wow, this is a show I want to see.
Yeah, huge. And of course, your announcers, the voices of the Attitude Era, good old JR, Jim Ross, and Jerry the King Lawler. What did we have on Heat on this evening in Boston, JR?
In Boston that night on Heat, we had four big matches.
Wow. Boy, they were jacked on this night, huh?
Oh, yeah. Of course, they're all under 4 minutes. But Hardcore Holly defeated Gangrel. We'll talk about Holly a little bit. But he was actually in the midst of a pretty big resurgence and push at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Midian, still popping around, defeated our buddy Mosh, of course. Friends with the man we talked to a few weeks ago, Glenn Ruth.
Yep.
S.A. Rios defeated Stevie Richards, another PTB Nation alum. The Acolytes defeated Perry Saturn and D'Lo Brown in a tag match.
Okay. Now, this tournament, JR, was massive.
Massive, sir.
Massive. VKM Ego, massive. Marc Claire Limo, massive. 32 guys in this tournament.
Wow!
That's like bigger than the NCAA tournament in the 50s. It's like fucking huge.
You need Billy Mays to pimp this thing.
That's right. Billy Mays here. Yeah, a lot of guys. And with good reason. It was a good roster. I mean, you know, it should have had a bunch of guys in this tournament.
Do you think they should have done... Well, it would have been hard to do 32 on pay-per-view.
Oh, yeah.
Do you think they should have done 16, though? Because they end up doing the first two rounds on TV. The 32 and the 16 are on TV.
And the 16.
Would you have preferred... I guess they had other shit going on. They really couldn't. But at this point, they had so much. They could have really just done the full tournament.
Well, I mean,
it would have been a lot, I guess.
I mean, it all comes down to time economics, because obviously we have a main event we have to talk about, World Wrestling Federation title on the line, and a weird main event, another thing that made no sense, and other stuff too. So, I mean, well, there is a match on this card that could have very easily been wiped out. We wish it was. So, well, that's 16, 8 is 24.
Well, see, the problem, they weren't
going to... That's what, 30 matches or something like that?
Yeah, 16? I mean, the problem is they weren't going to do... Well, no, not 30 matches. They did it. They did 16 guys at WrestleMania 4.
16, yeah. That's a lot of guys. Yeah, a lot of matches.
Yeah, they couldn't have gone 4 hours. I mean, that was Mania only at this point. They weren't going to go 4 hours to King of the Ring. So it really wasn't feasible, yeah. Even with quick matches. But, all right, we'll get to all the qualifiers and opening round matches as we kind of make our way through the tournament. But why don't you kick us off here with our opener?
All right. Our first quarterfinal match is two hot guys in the promotion, and we'll be, yikes, and there they are calling me now. My God, what? Hello?
Like fairy dust
yes.
Cell phone noise.
Here we go. Two hot guys on the roster who will be saying that often during this tournament.
Yeah.
Rikishi and your former World Wrestling Federation Intercontinental Champion, the Wolverine Chris Benoit. Because JR, 3 days earlier,
hey.
Or technically 6 days earlier, I guess, but taped and then aired 3 days earlier on the 622 SmackDown, Rikishi became the new Intercontinental Champion, defeating Benoit, which was kind of an eyebrow raiser.
I was a big upset. To me, this kickstarted the eyebrow raising that would roll into this evening. That was
yes.
Off the bat. So yeah, Rikishi won, but during the match, Benoit really worked over Rikishi's shoulder, mm-hmm. and then after hit him with a chair and then the crossface, and Rikishi ended up with a big bruise on his shoulder. So that was the play coming in here, was that Rikishi had a bum arm. Yeah, that really surprised me, because Rikishi, you know, book strong. I'm not saying he's an awful choice, but Benoit had just regained it, and it had been really had a great run. He even actually teased a face turn, and then still had his thing going with Jericho and everything else, and he was kind of, you know, working a little bit with the Faction on and off, and there's a lot going on. I was surprised to have the title on Rikishi. As we'll see, it was a means to an end that we'll find out in next month, but... Yep. I definitely wasn't happy at the time, I know that.
No, it was very strange, very strange. And this match, well, let's see how they got here. JR, why don't you give us the road to these two gentlemen getting to this point?
All right, Rikishi defeated Scotty Too Hotty, his little running buddy, and Shane McMahon.
What?
In the qualifying round, he had entered himself into the tournament, and then ended up being like a DQ. They all came in and beat the shit out of Rikishi, so it wasn't really a clean win. At all. So that was in the qualifying, and again, he beat Scotty in the opening round. Scotty had defeated D'Lo Brown in the qualifying round. Chris Benoit defeated the Road Dog in the qualifiers, and then defeated X-Pac in the second round. X-Pac had defeated Dean Malenko in the first round. So that's how these two guys arrived here in the final eight. On paper.
And even that's weird. Rikishi defeats his running buddy.
Mm.
And Benoit defeats two DX guys that he's kind of pseudo been working with. So.
Yes.
Well,
I like how they played that up, though. The King of the Ring, the tournament, anything could happen, and
true.
No one cared, and they're just trying to win the tournament. So, to
true.
Me, I was cool with that. Okay. One other thing I just want to mention about the tournament itself, there was a lot going on with the world title, who was the number one contender, we don't know, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And the original stip on the main event, which we're going to get to, was that whoever, if anyone on the non-championship side won, they would become number one contender for the next pay-per-view. If the champions team won, the winner of King of the Ring would get a shot at the next pay-per-view.
Ah.
So that would get dropped, but that was the original stip here.
That's a great stip. And, of course, they drop it.
Well, because the stip on the main event changed.
Well, yes, that's true, too. So here we are in a rematch from that Friday IC title match, or Thursday IC title match. The match is a whopping, barely, not even, 3.5 minutes.
And this, I thought, to me, this is even more disappointing than the IC title change on SmackDown. This actually annoyed me more.
Mm.
And I remember, I feel like Andy hadn't even arrived yet, like he was on his way, and Jim and I were watching this, and like also we blinked, and I wanted to throw up when I saw the finish. Benoit just fucking uses a chair, goes crazy, and assaults Rikishi and gets disqualified. I was like, what the fuck? I'm like, Benoit, this isn't Benoit. This is like, excuse me. All right, talk for a minute.
Yeah, this is like, once again, and I'm gonna, and this is going to be a big theme of my philosophy going into this the booking meetings of this pay-per-view. They look at this roster, and they're thinking, all right, who are the guys that need the wins the most? That's not the philosophy at this show. None of them need it, really. And I'm going to really harp on that as we move on through the tournament. This isn't like 99, where there was a single guy they really wanted to put over. The entire fucking roster was over.
Well, there is one guy they kind of want to put over, but I thought the problem was they tried to weave too many storylines into the tournament. This is one of those tournaments where you, with the horses you had, the quality of talent you had, let them go out and tell the story in the match.
Yeah.
They tried to weave too many storylines throughout. They took us back to last year with the X-Pac neck injury, and now we get the Rikishi shoulder.
Yeah, we don't need that.
To me, that's what the problem was. They were trying to do the plucky underdog bullshit instead of just letting Benoit come out as a monster heel. I don't know why he didn't go over here. Well, we'll rebook the tournament at the end because I have very specific thoughts on how it should have gone. But this is the first faux pas right out of the gate. 3 minutes, Benoit gets DQ'd. And again, this is something you expect from like someone in the Fat Gym or Edge and Christian or something. Not something from Benoit. He was not the one that would lose control and use a chair 3 minutes in and get himself disqualified. You know, that wasn't his style, how he'd been built up to this point. So to me, that was kind of the first fuck up right out of the gate. You have him go down in 3 minutes and... Rikishi, again, very over. It's hard to complain too much because the fans loved him. Just not the right form to do this. Like, I think everyone would have been fine if Benoit attacked the shoulder and Rikishi crumpled and he pinned him, you know? Like, right. I don't think it would have hurt Rikishi. He had just gone over for the IC title. I think it would have been fine.
Yeah. No, I think so, too. And yeah, the King of the Ring, like I said, on this night, and again, I'll continue to harp this point throughout the show, this tournament was about just making the matches look great. There might have been, and you're right, there probably was one or two guys, and we're hedging that may have needed, quote-unquote, the tournament win. Most of this roster, the fans were bonkers over anyway. So, unlike Billy Gunn in 99, or hell, even Triple H in 97, or hell, Steve in 96, any of those instances... No, I'm not going to shut up, because this is your fault. I'm sure you approved all this. This was an instance where you needed to just make the tournament look great. Don't worry about who wins. That's irrelevant in this specific year. And I think they were looking for the guy who wins, no problem with that. But it's again, it's not more about the guy who wins, it's how the tournament itself is laid out. And again, we'll talk about that as we move on. So Benoit loses in the opener. And I'm sure, you know, the IWC went batshit. You know,
well, right, I don't think you got to be an IWC member. I think anyone.
No, I think everybody got pissed off. But again,
I mean, that was just a ridiculous finish.
Right,
and it wasn't even a good finish. Like, even if you want to say, well, it was fine to have him win, Rikishi win. He's the IC champ now. It solidifies him. At least give a better match than 3 minutes with a shit DQ finish. I mean,
yeah, exactly. Now again, the company kind of puts you, kind of backs you into a corner because. They don't want you to get upset because it's two guys you like. So they did the whole, well, you don't want either of them to get pinned, so we'll end it this way. No. My God, we're not nine anymore. You know, just this isn't 1987. Just do the fucking match. Nah, stop over. This was like the pinnacle probably of Kresge being maybe a little too cerebral with his booking. But
and just too cerebral, this overthinking. You know, we talked about this in Mania quite a bit. Just really overthinking things out of the gate, and to me that was definitely a fatal flaw. Sometimes they were so hot they were trying to do the stuff out of the box and be a little bit different. When honestly, they were so hot they could have stuck with the plan.
Yeah,
and I think everything could have been
perfectly fine. Yeah.
You know, if they just went by chalk. You know, Rock wins the title at the Rumble at WrestleMania. Over Triple H, and then you go from there, and then you get to King of the Ring. You deliver us all the good matches. We don't need all this extra thinking and storylines and different kind of booking and everything. It's just
now the year stuff. Before was a little different because
thin roster
talent wise was not as good, right. So you needed to kind of weave some extra sizzle to make the steak taste better, but not this time. But again, we'll be harping on this all night. So anyway, Chris Benoit is out, head scratcher. Rikishi, no problem, moves on to the semis. With a bad shoulder, and they start doing the cool, you know, the typical WWF makeup in, you know, makeup purpley grossness of the bruise or whatever. All right, quarterfinal number two, two other guys that are doing pretty well. The one doing much better, or maybe how do I word it? But one guy's in the spotlight. The other guy kind of isn't. Eddie Guerrero, another quarter of the Radicals, and former Intercontinental Champion Val Venus, which
I think it rhymes with penis.
Yes, and boy, they stuck theirs out in the middle of this match. How did these two guys get here, JR?
What?
I don't know.
Global's got a young Justin Hawk on there. Of course, it'd be Bradshaw. He's got long hair and has a happy face. Who are you talking about? Eddie Guerrero defeated Matt Hardy.
Talking about Calvin Natt.
Eddie Guerrero defeated Matt Hardy in the qualifying round, and then defeated China in the first round.
Oh.
China had defeated the Godfather in the qualifiers. And a little bit of, you know, chicanery by Eddie here. Mm-hmm. China was going to low blow him, and she couldn't do it. It's her man's. She got up, Eddie kissed her hand, and then rolled her up and pinned her. So it was a nice little trickery by Eddie. On the other side of the bracket, Val Venus defeated Al Snow in the qualifying round, then defeated Jeff Hardy. In the opening round, Jeff had defeated Christian. So that's how Val and Eddie arrived here. Val mm-hmm. going over quite the makeover. Attitude change.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of looks the same here, but he had a brand new manager, Trish Stratus. Had some new music that was kind of more of like a workout porn kind of song and less...
Like, it was
very odd.
Fast-paced crap.
He wasn't really doing a lot of the double entendres and all that stuff anymore. He was doing much more mean. It was kind of like when Rick Rude cut his hair and got all serious in 1990. That's kind of what Val did here.
Yeah.
Still got the long hair and the purple trunks, but that would change over the next month. We'll talk about that next week. Mm-hmm. But yeah, he's a little bit more of an edge and a renewed push for Val with Trish in his corner. You could tell they were trying to find different ways as well to get Trish involved and get her over.
Right. Yeah. And it was getting there. I mean, we were, about 5 months into her run? So it was getting there for her. But she would still need some time. At least this match is about 5 minutes longer, and it's pretty good. It's pretty solid. But again, you had a ready-made, bona fide, off-the-charts semifinal match for you. They don't do it. They don't do it.
Yeah, I don't get it.
Seriously. We could have had Chris Benoit versus Eddie Guerrero in the semifinals. Duh. I mean, come on.
And this is what we're talking
Even
about.
Even Herb Abrams could have booked that. I mean, come on.
This is what we're talking about. Herb Coombs would have fucking... thinking things and trying to focus on storyline. They've been teasing a feud with Val and Rikishi leading into the show. They actually got into a couple of brawls. One, Val really beat the piss out of him with a monitor at ringside. Then Rikishi got some revenge. And you could tell they wanted to further that feud along. And they do it at the expense of Eddie and Benoit here. So, you know, you push a feud that people aren't maybe as into. Val's not really solidified as a heel here. At the expense of just putting on a great match here on the tournament and really moving along the guys that could have delivered more of a entertaining show. Like, I think Val Rikishi could have been done outside of having to force it into the second round here. And as soon as Rikishi won, you knew Eddie was losing because it made, you know, made all the sense in the world to put Val in there. And I remember being upset as well once Rikishi won because I knew Eddie was gone. Now we're going to get Val and Rikishi. And we're already looking at, like, it reminded me a lot of 95 in a way. Never a good thing to be compared to, but it reminded me of 95 where, Shawn's out. Oh, shit, Undertaker's out. And then all of a sudden you're looking at it and it's fucking Rhodey, Mabel, and, you know, like now that's what I'm looking at. I'm like, oh, we got Rikishi and Val, and then the other side, the next match we got coming up, you didn't care about either guy either. And the last match, two guys you liked are going out, you know, one's going to be out. So it was like,
yeah,
you know, your choices to win were quickly dwindling, and it ends up making a predictable tournament once we get to the final four. Whereas it could have had a lot of intrigue if you had mixed things around. So to me, again, number two, screw up on the night. And it was, just all poor booking and just questionable decisions.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't say poor booking because they booked it how they wanted to. Like, it wasn't poor in the sense that they screwed up where they wanted to go.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought it was actually well booked when you consider what they wanted to do. It's just, I think what they wanted to do was stupid. That's all.
Yeah, their decision was dumb. It wasn't that they blew their decision.
Right,
they
booked
it
the
wrong one.
Yeah, they booked to that decision well. That's the route they decided to take was.
It's not that they chose between plan A and plan B, they took plan A and did it right. And what we wanted was plan B. It wasn't that they screwed up plan A, it's that they picked plan A at all. That was the problem.
Yeah, exactly.
So Val Venus versus... Yeah, I'm glad you're laughing because nobody else is. Val Venus and Rikishi in your semifinal, and Chris Benoit and Eddie Guerrero are out.
Out.
You're out of here. Go get your avocado, sucker.
All right. We take a breather and go backstage. Pat Patterson is looking for wardrobe. And you're thinking to yourself, he's going to wear one of his usual suave polo shirts. No. He's looking for dresses.
The hell is this shit?
Exactly. Let's move on to the next match. We'll get more into this debacle in a little bit. Our third quarterfinal is the only one where we can flip a coin and it really would matter. Crash Holly, consistently been the hardcore champion back and forth throughout 2000. Taking on the protege of my PIC's boy, the Big Boss Man, that is B Squared, Bill Buchanan.
The hell is this shit?
I wouldn't really call this shit, Jake.
Well,
not the two guys anyway. Well, how'd they get here, JR?
Yeah, I think it's shit. I do. This is stupid.
It was. How'd they get here?
By poor booking. Crash Holly defeated Albert in the first round, and then defeated his cousin Hardcore by DQ in the second round, mm-hmm. and Hardcore defeated Farouk. Bull Buchanan had advanced here. A little help from his friend, the Big Boss Man. Defeated the one and only Mr. Steve Blackman.
Big up.
And Bull then defeated Perry Saturn, who had defeated Devon Dudley. Look, I know you're pushing Crash. Got all the hardcore stuff going on. Maybe you throw a little underdog in the tournament. And then you put him against Bull here. I didn't get it. Why do you put two guys that don't need to advance against each other? And then our next match is two guys that did need to advance face each other. It was stupid. And when I saw this bracketing, I was like, what? Why? Why are they putting these guys against each other? It makes no sense. Bull had no heat. He had been running a lot of errands for the Faction. He had been doing a lot of stuff for them. Interfering in wrestling matches on their behalf. So he's starting to get a little bit of a solo push. He had really kind of split off from Boss Man for the most part. But and Crash was over doing his little thing.
Mm-hmm.
But not enough for this, you know? Not enough to be... It just didn't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want to see either of these guys advance. I mean,
no.
I don't know why they didn't put a hardcore in here. He was actually getting a really good push. He was involved in the IC title picture. He had been attacking Chris Jericho and feudal with Benoit on and off and attacking Rikishi. You know, he was in the mix with all these guys. And to right. me, he was getting, they were revitalizing his push. I would have rather see him in Bull here, and then he advances at least. Or even Saturn.
Saturn doesn't even get on the show.
I know, yeah. Malenko, any of those guys would have been better here.
Yes.
Bull is just an odd choice.
And Crash was, well, not odd, but...
For this.
Wrong spot, wrong round. Yeah. In any event, he wins. He gets a roll-up. A little over 4 minutes. Just saying, I mean, what happened to all this great booking of these last 5 months? Getting all these guys together. They're putting on fantastic matches. Why come up with bizarre booking decisions to get rid of them and put these other guys in? Why? Because they had their 3 months in the sun. Let's give somebody else a chance.
I don't know!
Exactly. Even you don't know. Billy, what's his name? So Crash Holly moves on to the quarterfinals.
Oh, God.
Lord only knows why.
Mm. Terrible.
Backstage, our boy Vince.
Terrible.
Terrible. Backstage, our boy Vince runs into his lovely wife. And... says there will be no shenanigans.
None.
Linda.
No antics.
No tomfoolery.
None.
In tonight's main event. And we'll get to what that main event is a little later.
Shut up!
You couldn't say that to your wife. You don't have the guts. You don't have the grapefruits. And now the final quarterfinal. And this is where you really bang your head against the fucking wall. Why? Why? You get these two Jamokes in the third quarterfinal, and these two bona fide work rate studs in this match against each other.
Will you stop?
That's exactly what I would have said, Mr. President. Even he'd have been pissed.
Stupid.
You know, Jesse would have been banging his head against the wall if this was. You know,
it really made it. It just really made no sense.
Chris Jericho.
Chris Jericho. Do you need me to put some quarters in or something?
It's not plugged in. Hold on. Fonz.
Oh, God.
Come here, Fonz. Kind of looks a little R&B and softcore 70s porn in this week's. Did that make you feel better, JR? Because this tournament's making you angry. So I wanted to pep your mood.
I hope you have,
okay,
do you have three. Do you have three songs ready to go? Just in case he advances through.
Well, I'm hoping you don't have the hiccups again. Yes, I will. I will. I have plenty of plenty in the hopper here to choose from. Okay. All right, your boy Kurt Angle.
Thank you, sir.
No, we're doing good. Not sure what to do, but I have plenty of options. All right, your boy Kurt Angle taking on Chris Jericho. Why? No answers. Even the great PICs before you have no answers. Two Jamokes in one quarterfinal, and two work rate beasts in this one.
And I get why you wanted to have this match, because it actually played up on a couple storylines I had going on.
You could have this match anyway.
Yes.
In the next round.
Thank you. Since his debut at the end of 99, Stephanie McMahon-Helmsley has always expressed a little schoolgirl-like interest in Kurt Angle, always going out of her way to protect him. And 2000 moved along, he began taking concern over her. Things started innocently, but pretty soon they get a little bit heated. So Angle was still kind of doing her bidding. He actually helped her retain her woman's title in a match with Lita, and then they were hugging after, and Hunter in the back was kind of like, oh, all right, you know, continue keeping an eye on Kurt. And Stephanie's feud with Jericho was really amping up here as well, where he was just trashing her all the time and ripping on her. And
Post bag. And...
Yeah, they were the faction was abusing him as best they could. So a lot of that going on here. It's a good match. Best match of the first round easily. Goes about 10 minutes. Angle gets to win with an angle slam after Stephanie got up on the apron. Jericho kissed her, and then Angle grabbed it after the distraction, grabbed him with the angle slam, got the pin. Well, I'm fine with Angle moving on here, but God, we're looking at Angle versus Crash Holly and Rikishi versus Val Venus.
Instead of separating these two and put them in the other quarters, and you could have had Benoit versus Guerrero and Angle versus Jericho in the semis.
Or... Even if you want to have Angle Jericho be your big money match, you could have done Guerrero Jericho, Benoit Angle, Benoit Jericho, Guerrero. I mean, any combo of those four would have been fantastic. If you wanted to have Jericho Angle be your, Jericho Angle be your final, which makes the most sense. So, instead we're stuck with three guys that aren't. At this point, it's obvious who's going to win. I mean, maybe Rikishi is an outside chance, but probably not. You know Val's not winning, and you know Val Angle's not going to be the final. You know Val Crash isn't going to be an angle. So just moving Crash along, I know what they were going for, the gutty underdog and all that shit, but this wasn't needed. You have the talent. Those are the tricks you break out in 95 and 97 when you don't have the depth. 99. That's when you build up the parlor tricks and you do all that kind of shit. You give the underdog story, like with Savio Vega and this other shit. And then you look here, and it's like, no one wants to see that. It's not believable that Crash is going to advance. No one cares. He's fun in the hardcore shit. Slapping Bradshaw with, shaking his beer up and spraying it on him. We don't care. That's not what we want to see on the show. We paid for this pay-per-view because it's loaded with talent, and you want to see the great wrestlers advance. This could have been one of the best. This could have been the best King of the Ring of all time, if booked correctly. And after the first round, it's a fucking disaster. It totally deflated the show.
Mm. I mean,
I definitely remember feeling very like blah watching it at this point. I was like, oh my God.
I mean, I don't think the roster's been this loaded since 92?
Yeah.
91?
I don't know if 92 they could even put a tournament like this together. I guess they could have, but
you could have from a personality character perspective.
No, well, even 92, I mean, if you're just picking eight random guys, I mean, yes, you could, but if you're looking logically at the card and the upper mid card, no, you wouldn't have had this kind of depth. But if you're just doing like a fantasy tournament where you could add Flair, Savage, Brett, you know, everyone around 92, Sid. Then yes.
Yeah.
Sid. I guess you got to
carry the
Samsung.
Just defies logic. Look, we've heaped a lot of praise on Chris Kresge since taking over for Russo and Ferrara, but this one we got to be like, Chris, just dummy it down to the least to the I don't want to say lowest common the simplest common denominator. All the talent. Put the talent at the forefront. Further down the line, don't worry about storyline decisions. Once again, you're trying to make the you're misrepresenting what you think the fans really want. Oh, fancy, real depth storylines, not in tournaments.
Right.
Leave
unless you need
alone.
To. No, I mean
only if your cachet of guys is crap.
Yeah, there are times you may need to. There really are. I get it. Like 99, they told the story of X-Pac. Okay. 95, they told the story of Savio Vega, even though I thought they had the horses that year. They just didn't use them.
Didn't use it right, yeah.
But here you didn't need to. Here you could have just had a great, great story through wrestling.
Yeah.
And still got your payoff at the end with the match you wanted.
Yep. We have another backstage segment after this match where the McMahons are yapping in their, and this is where, I mean, the overkill. We've talked about this a few times, JR. Yeah. This the McMahon overkill is just overkill.
Well, it would be alleviated a little bit after this show.
Yeah, but these last 3 months have been the apex of seeing this whole family. Ridiculous.
Shut up!
You booked it. Not my fault. Meanwhile, guess who was having a couple of pops on Times Square, JR? Freshly retired, freshly shorn.
Hulk Hogan, we coming for you, nigga!
No. If Hogan was freshly shorn, he would look like Crash Holly. Mick Foley.
Yes.
Is at WWF New York.
Well, he got rid of the poodle perm that he had at WrestleMania.
Yes.
Now has a crew cut, shaved head. I don't know. It was not a good look. Ivory is a tending bar for him.
Yes.
We'll see a little bit more of Mick Foley soon.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit more.
It was about this time that I actually went to WWF New York for the first one or two times. I actually bought the... you ever buy anything in the gift shop, Jer?
Yes, I believe I did. I believe I bought a Kurt Angle shirt there, my red one.
I bought the Mick Foley, the Cactus Jack Wanted Dead t-shirt there. And the belts were, that was the first time I really got to see the belts up close. Very nice, but of course, stupid expensive. And that was a problem with WWF New York. You're like, oh, the store's pretty cool. And you walk down the hallway and there's a couple of steel cage walls and there's your table. Oh, okay. And that was that. Next up, we leave the tournament and have a Four Corners elimination match for the World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Championships. Who are our champions, JR?
The team known as Too Cool.
What?
Grandmaster Sexay. Scotty Too Hottie.
This was actually inevitable, probably.
And earned.
Kind of.
The other teams in this match, the Hardy Boys, Edge and Christian, and Test and Albert, TNA. On the 529 Raw, Too Cool upset Edge and Christian for the Tag Team Championships due to a little help from Kid Rock's miniature friend and accomplice, Joe C. Joe C was a known huge wrestling mark. It's reported that he was legitimately psyched to be involved in the segment which saw him and Christian, him hit Christian with a hockey stick, giving Too Cool tag team titles. Kid Rock had been performing that night on Raw, so that's why Joe C was in the house.
I thought Too Cool earned it. I thought they deserved a quick little scamp here with the titles.
Yeah, and again, you're looking at a fine cachet of tag teams. The division's looking great. I just realized something. I'm Bigelow34.proboards.com is our written review, and I don't know which one of us wrote it, but we put an L at the end of Too Cool, so it's actually Tool Cool. It's actually pretty funny. Sounds like a made-up tag team in some faraway federation. Lakeside Arena. Tool Cool. I mean, the match is, you know.
Well, what did you think first of the tag title change? Now, Edge and Christian had kind of punked Don Joe C in the back, and that's why he ended up coming out and helped them.
We have been talking in the last couple months that it was probably inevitable. They were pretty over. I mean, obviously, they might have been riding Rikishi's coattails a little bit, kind of riding their pops. Maybe they didn't want them to win the belts here.
Yeah, I think it was classic booking of do the shock on pop on TV and then set it up for here instead of having it. Yeah, because they wanted to obviously put it back on Edge and Christian long term.
Right.
So I thought it was a fine little pop.
Yeah, it was good. Like I said, I mean, they were due to have it. I mean, they were kind of riding their boys' coattails a little bit. And yeah, I had no problem with it.
Was 3'9" with a 10-foot.
I liked Joe C. A snarky little prick. I liked him.
He smelled like meat and cheese?
No, he didn't smell like meat and cheese.
Okay. Only Rotella.
I think Albert smelled like meat and cheese. By the way, I asked Lumpy there where he got that from, and he says it was a quote from a movie.
I don't know what kind of movie he's getting that from.
He didn't remember what movie it was from, though. I don't either, so whatever. What did you think someone said
on the live chat that it was like Austin Powers or something.
Yeah, was it? It's Bio Shagney, maybe? Something like that. What did you think of using like the non-wrestler interaction there?
I was fine with it. I thought it was a nice little tie-in. I mean, Kid Rock obviously was pretty big at this point. Mm-hmm. And they were using his song for The Undertaker, so it was an obvious tie-in.
Right.
I thought this is kind of the peak of Joe C's popularity, him and Kid Rock. Bow with the bar, of course, as we heard used in a Ready to Rumble like, cinematic yes. classic.
Yes.
And, I was fine with it. To me, this is a harmless title change. The tag titles are fine to bounce back and forth. I don't think it like degraded Edge and Christian's reign to have this little bump here. And they paid it off well. They set it up in the back with Edge and Christian kind of goofing on Joe C, and then he comes out and gets revenge. And I don't have a problem when they use a celeb like this if he's a legitimate, you know, big time fan. Like Joe C was a known huge mark for wrestling, really into it. And
yeah, he was.
So I was fine. I thought it was you know, knowing how his life was kind of cut short due to his situation. I thought it was a cool moment for him to get to have a nice memory. He always seemed like a cool guy.
Yeah, and again, you know, wrestling Mark, wrestling Mac.
Yeah.
Yeah, it worked out. So there you go. So Too Cool is your champions going into this match. Of course, all the studs were in here, except for the Dudleys.
Well, yeah, I was going to say, do you like that we kind of get a little bit of a different mix? I mean, the Dudleys are out. The Hardys are still in there, but I thought it was kind of cool, a little bit different to have TNA in the mix and then Too Cool as well, instead of just having the usual same three teams. I thought it showed off the great depth of the tag division that we talked about. I mean, the depth here is absurd in this tag division.
Yeah. Well, definitely TNA. I mean, we've talked about, you know, they're kind of like 1D under, you know, Hardys, Dudleys, and Edge and Christian. So to get themselves a legitimate shot here, they earned. So it's an elimination. Goes a little over 14 minutes. JR, why don't you give us the elimination?
Matt Hardy pins Test at 3:41. Christian defeats Matt Hardy at 7:55, which is a little bit of a surprise. And then Edge pins Grandmaster Sexay with the belt at 14:11. Did you like at least that? I guess maybe you assumed it would have been the Hardys at the end, but I thought it was good that they had Edge and Christian finish off Too Cool. They gave him another like 6.5 minute match to kind of get their win back and finish that little mini feud they had going on. I'm glad they didn't just have them get eliminated earlier and then Edge and Christian defeat the Hardys or something in the final round. I like that they beat the champs to get the belts back.
Yeah, and use some, you know, heel chicanery, using the belts as, you know, to get the win, and legitimize is too cool that they lasted till the end.
And Edge and Christian were awesome. This is where they were really locked in with all the kind of surfer shit they had going on with their, you know, still doing the 5 second pose, still doing all the, you know, kind of like, this is awesome. All right, cool. You know, they coined the term Fak-Gym officially before this, when it was, they're arguing over whether it was the faction or the regime. And they're arguing over, you know, Christian had an interview with Tiger Beat magazines to get them on the cover and all that kind of stuff. And it was all really goofy stuff with them and Kurt, which were just really a lot of fun, fun moments and promos. And but yeah, they were had really, really broken out big time personality wise. And, you know, they could have just went straight Edge and Christian versus Too Cool. But, the story of this year, a lot of talent that they're going to squeeze on these pay-per-views. So to me, a tag match like this is a fine place. There's no heated feud heading in. Throw the extra teams in, get them the showing on the pay-per-view, and you still get a good 6.5-minute match out of the champs and the number one contenders at the end.
Right.
Bang it, baby.
So Edge and Christian, once again, your World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions. All right, let's move on to these awesome semifinals. And looking at these two matches, and we could look at them in pairs, and as a pair, I wonder if this is the reason why they didn't go too crazy with the guys. Rikishi and Val first. And the match only goes barely 3 minutes. And Rikishi wins with a belly to belly.
I'm so scared.
We're scared too. We're scared as to where the hell this came out of somebody's head.
Oh, fuck. And then it even, like, kind of blows off. I mean, it's kind of ass backwards anyway. You're not going to have Val win. But they had started this feud that was clearly going to continue on. You have Rikishi beat him clean in 3 minutes.
Crazy.
It made no sense.
I don't know.
I mean, I guess Val beat him up after or whatever and busted his shoulder some more. So now we're really, you know, heading in. Val gets some heat and Rikishi's still selling the shoulder. But no one cares. No one cares. Stupid. Yeah. And now the next match is obvious. Whereas if you had done it the other way, you'd really still not know.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't make sense to me. I don't know. I guess they really wanted to get the Rikishi Val feud going, but they could have just done that in the opening round by having Val interfere in his match or whatever.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. But Rikishi, purpley bruised shoulder and all, gross and everything.
He was doing a good job. I'll give him that. I mean, he was selling it well.
No, it's not his fault. Yeah. And he's being given what's booked for him, and he's rolling with it, and he's looking good doing it. Well, not looking good, but looking as good as he could, what's been given to him. So Rikishi moves on to the King of the Ring final. Who will he face, JR?
Guess.
Some kind of drama here.
I don't want no drama.
Will it be Crash Holly? Or...
My humps.
So if you're loving nobody else's way, loving his way right now.
Little Boys to Men?
Peter Frampton.
Oh, okay.
Boys to Men. Well, good guy. I wonder if they did a cover. No, Peter Frampton. Kurt Angle.
I just picture like Steve Rogers kicking his trash can from under his computer desk when I fuck up the name of the 70s bands. Angry.
Oh, God. Just give me a great idea, though. At least I have time to find the song and the break, so I don't blow because I just thought of a good one. All right.
Does that have to do with kicking trash cans?
No, it has nothing to do with it. No, well, it's not going to be what Steve Rogers probably wants, but I'm kind of pulling up. I'm going to pull one out of your playbook. So
you've got to be kidding me.
I'm not, and I think JR will be very impressed with the seg. Kurt wins, and that's it.
Yeah, stupid. Again.
What more do you say?
Again, Crash had no business being here. No one believed for a second he could win and move on. It was stupid.
Were you getting any consolation, though,
nope,
in the fact that your guy was probably going to have this handed to him?
No. I want to see him earn it, you know?
Yeah.
Instead, oh, he's a champion of a shit tournament. Doesn't mean much.
I mean, instead of what they should have done. instead of having Rikishi earn his, having the story of Rikishi with his bruised shoulder to the end, they should have had Angle set up so we had to face like every tough son of a bitch. Benoit, Jericho, Eddie, just lay them all down the line. If he's going to win it, make him earn it instead of having Rikishi earn an opportunity to lose. You know?
I agree, stupid. Man. I'm on your side. This, stupid. I don't know why, again, they didn't make him earn it. They went this route. I mean, has there been a weaker route, I guess? I don't know. Maybe Triple H in 97. Lost a match. He's only catered to lose in the tournament.
I don't know.
I don't know another one that's, I guess Mabel's was less. Well, he beat The Undertaker at least.
Yeah. So your final of the tournament is Kurt Angle and Rikishi. Now.
In a vacuum, though.
Yeah, in a vacuum.
It's not a bad final.
There's nothing wrong with that. It's just look what's been left in its wake.
Exactly.
It's just an embarrassment.
Yeah. In a vacuum, it's all right. You know, not a bad final. Rikishi's had a great first half of 2000. I feel bad ripping him or let it come off like we're ripping
him. Yeah, he's pretty much more collateral damage of this of our vitriol tonight. It's not his fault. At least he's being rewarded for all this fucking garbage.
Yeah.
So there's your final. Getting a headache.
Well, it's about to get worse. It's about to get a lot worse.
Oh, my God. All right. Worse. Another title match.
I don't know.
Get out of the tournament for the time being.
I don't know if you want to go grab a stiff drink before this one.
Holy shit.
Or stiff something.
Yeah. I don't know if we can talk about stiff with these guys. The World Wrestling Federation hardcore title on the line. I feel bad saying to you, JR, take us along this road because I'm sure you want to drive the car off a cliff. All right, go ahead. Do it.
What the hell is this shit?
And there you go. All right, so.
All right.
Do it for you.
Gerald Briscoe defeated Crash Holly for the hardcore title when Holly was sleeping in the 518 SmackDown. The backstory was the APA were paid by Crash to protect him. And we talked about this at our last show. Briscoe ended up stealing the title away. Well, the following weeks, Briscoe defended the title 24-7, always nervous and scared, running from people, hiding, looking at scaring himself in the mirror, everything else. After a brief futile feud with the APA, Crash set his sights on getting his title back and would take the title back on the 6/12 Raw after Patterson interfered and backfired and cost Briscoe the match. On SmackDown that week, we saw Briscoe and Patterson searching all over New York City for Crash, who was there looking for John Shaft to protect him. Of course, it was Samuel L. Jackson. That's when the movie was coming out. I actually saw that movie in the theater. Nothing?
Yes.
You're not proud of me for seeing that? Or yelling at me for seeing the remake of it?
I am.
Okay.
I am very impressed.
Fuck you. He would find him, and the segments went throughout the entire show, ending with Shaft knocking out Patterson. Not the other way around. On the 6/19 Raw...
I can't believe I should have muted them. Was that one of those JR non sequitur...
On the 6/19 Raw, Briscoe would interfere in Crash's King of the Ring qualifying match against Hardcore Holly. After giving Crash a win by DQ, Briscoe attacked him and pinned Crash for the title. Later in the show, they were celebrating. Patterson whacked Briscoe over the head again, pinned Crash for the title. I'm sorry, no. He whacked him with a champagne bottle over the head again, pinned him for the title. So now Patterson is a champion. That week on SmackDown, Briscoe tried to find him and included them dressing as women to hide from each other in other semi-homosexual escapades. Briscoe would find Patterson, and they engaged in a brawl that involved them ripping their dresses off. Vince McMahon happened to walk by and said they were embarrassing themselves in the fac-gime, and if they liked to dress as women, they would do so in an evening gown match at the pay-per-view. Now, also around this time, Patterson had his pants ripped off during a match and revealed his tighty-whities with skid marks on them, so poop-stained Patterson became one of Jim Ross's favorite sayings, and... This whole thing was just out of control. This was like May and Moolah now of this part of the year. And just way over the top. Briscoe and Patterson were really fun 98 and parts of 99. But at this point now, this is just ridiculous. And to give them any pay-per-view time, you know, even though it's only 3 minutes, it's just a disgrace. You got them wrestling in dress. If you want to have them go out there, maybe, I don't know, shoot fight or something. Something legitimate that they could do. But out there in dresses rolling around like idiots just is not good.
I feel like I almost feel like the the company was still thinking as if it was 1999, and they thought the roster could not handle carrying this thing on their own, so they had to stick a lot of this.
I don't think it was that
nonsense fluff.
I don't think they were just trying to. I don't think they were thinking they would help carry the show. I think they just thought it was funny. I think it was a Vince thing. He probably thought it was funny.
Yeah, it's just, this was
Kevin tells us many times that usually if it's Patterson and Briscoe involved, it's a rib by Vince. So
yeah, that's a word. I'm sure those production meetings were fucking fall on the floor hilarious. So I'm sure they were getting kicked out of
fucking
that.
Skid mark poop stain Patterson and all this shit. It was just
literally more shit.
It was just stupid. And if you want to keep it a SmackDown or a little bit of Raw, fine. But to put it on pay per view that people are paying for, it just wasn't even that entertaining. It was just blah. Anyway, nothing here. 3 minutes. They wrestle with no contest. Crash comes in, pins Patterson under 24/7, wins his title back, and puts this disaster to bed.
Ugh.
You should have had Crash here and made it like a 2-on-1 hardcore match or something. Get him out of the tournament.
Ugh. Bad.
Way too much Crash on the show. 3 appearances in matches for Crash Holly on the show.
Yes.
Yeah, so little... I don't like Crash Holly. He's a good wrestler. He's just not... He's not a guy you put on in the tournament, go 2 rounds, and has 3 matches. It's not Randy Savage.
No. It's not even Savio Vega. Awful. All right, we got a break because we need to cleanse ourselves.
Are you saying Joe Briscoe couldn't have been Quang?
Oh, he was 300 pounds of shit hitting the fan. I'll tell you that right now. Actually, with him and Patterson, it was more like 600 pounds of shit hitting the fan.
So, yes, Scott, it is time for a break.
Mm-hmm.
Before we take that break, I just want to send out a little thoughts and prayers to the family of Art Donovan. Great NFL legend, of course, best known to wrestling fans. is an awesome performance at King of the Ring 94 in the announce booth with Gorilla Monsoon and Randy Savage. All 3 now passed away. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
And, you know, Art's been a big part of this show indirectly. Of course, King of the Ring 94 pod, we were all over it. And ever since then, we play his clips every week throughout the trivia tournament and everything else. So
yes.
Kind of felt like a little bit of PTB Nation. One of the members passed away here.
Yeah.
We threw up the King of the Ring 94 pod on the website last night if you wanted to go back and kind of relive that one.
Mm-hmm.
But a really cool guy, had a great life. You know, had a second career as an entertainment guy on all different talk shows and everything else. So I figured as we hit the break, Scott, we'll do a little montage of his clips from King of the Ring as a little tribute for him.
Okay. Because.
Andy, is this one of the wrestlers? He's one of the best. He looks like bringing on down, Mabel. Let's see what you got, because you're going to pay IRS. He looks like a businessman. Gorilla, is the partner getting any air at all?
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I can't believe the whole thing. They're killing each other.
Art Donovan, I would say somewhere between 260 to 280 pounds.
Really? Gorilla, who's the guy in the white suit? Guy in the white suit?
That'd be Oscar.
That's Oscar, the manager of Men on a Mission, Art. Oh, I thought maybe he was the guy coming to take him to the hospital. Hey, I may have a winner.
Promotional consideration paid for by the following.
What I'd like to have right now.
Chad, do you ever feel that the world revolves around WWF?
I think you mean WWE there, Barf.
Yeah, whatever, but what about David Crockett?
She likes it!
Well, what about Jimmy Valiant?
I'm gonna get y'all until I get you, Paul Jones. Ooh.
The Four Horsemen.
We are a family, and we are the best!
The Omni, the Dangerous Alliance.
Please welcome the newest members of the Dangerous Alliance, Arn Anderson and Larry Zbysko.
Jim Cornette and the Midnight Express.
The Fantastics are putting the U.S. Tag Team title on the line against the Midnight Express.
Main events with actual work rate in them.
Woo! 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 All right!
It's just not fair to Flair.
It's not fair for Flair.
If this is what you're looking for, please check out Where the Big Boys Play podcast, the only pure NWA and WCW supercard podcast out there.
While you were in Hollywood making movies, Thunder Lips, I was winning world titles.
So a guy from across the pond and a dude from the South, Where the Big Boys Play. It's a great podcast. Harv and Chad are awesome. Check them out. Also, check out WrestleChat.net. Indeed, where it's at. Great message board. Plenty of topics to browse. The Still Real to Us podcast. And much, much more. Also, our message board, which is awesome. Bigelow34.proboards.com. It's where PTB really began. Written reviews and a boatload of them. And PTB Nation, we have you to thank for that. Plus the territory wars, a whole lot more. If you want a one-touch spot for our show, you can head there. Also, head to Stitcher.com and the Stitcher app for all phones and tablets. And more details on that. Also, our good friend Graham Cawthon at thehistoryofwwe.com, the best research site you will ever find. Also, another sponsor to the show, the Wrestling Forum, TWFnews.com, their wrestling forum, a blog site, and much, much more. The guys at TWF creating a wrestling media nation, many blogs, podcasts, and vodcasts. Yours can be included in the official forum of WrestleChat.net and the place to be. We've joined up as well. So check them out. Find out what they're about at TWFnews.com. Also, you can check out our show at GetThePointRadio.com. My good friend Mike, it's a great online radio station. You're not in the mood for wrestling, but you want to listen to music, pop it on. He plays music all day long. But you can also check his archive on iTunes, and all of our shows are there as well. Big site.
I'm the greatest! Hey, this is Scott Hudson, and you're listening to the Place to Be podcast with Scott and Justin.
All right, Nation, we are back. As always, let's take a moment here, direct you and your attention to placetobenation.com. Mm-hmm. Big things popping, as always, Scott.
Yes.
Go through the last couple days here. We got Total Divas watching Total Divas Week 2. Ben Morris and Jen Engel with a great job there recapping this week's episode, which like doubled its rating. It's the opposite of the XFL right now.
Yeah, I read it today. Good job by Ben and Jen.
Yeah, they have a good little chemistry going, and it's mm-hmm. been pretty good. Todd Weber back today. Weber has issues. Collider number one. Mm-hmm. We found new music with a Minx interview from Grant Owens. Of course, the Raw recap is up there as well.
Yes.
I did a piece about Kurt Angle and his recent legal trouble, kind of a plea mm-hmm. to get some help and clean himself up. Mm-hmm. Jeremy Nichols, House of Horror, Night of the Creeps.
Yes.
And of course, our throwback 94 King of the Ring, our Donovan Memorial podcast is up there. Matt Farrell with a pretty cool piece. He actually worked security at the Pro Football Hall of Fame this past weekend.
Yeah, that was really cool.
A little insider look at it. So nice work by Matt there. Survivor Series 87, Vintage Vault repost is up. And of course, your Impact. And we have the UFC 163 live blog with Tommy Pondick if you want to check that out. SmackDown, NXT, all the reviews there for your reading pleasure, in a whole new We Missed the 90s as well. Dinosaurs. Jen and I did that one. Mm-hmm. So check it out, pleasetobenation.com. All the podcasts you can want, gaming, comics. We actually finally tracked someone down to do music, so that'll be a good, hopefully some good stuff coming from that guy. We'll make that announcement in a couple weeks. Mm-hmm. Always looking for new talent. If you're interested in sports, TV, wrestling, movies, MMA, gaming, comics, music, or life in general, reach out to us, Scott, myself, Chad Campbell, Brad Woodling, or just email info@placetobenation.com. Also, put out a call if anyone wants to review Main Event for the site. Get some good hits, get some good looks, good exposure, and maybe you work yourself into being more of a staff member as well. So if you want to start out with that, hit us up if you're interested there. So placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We know we get the listeners. Bring that listening over to placetobenation. Click over there and help us out. So appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes.
All right, Scott. So we pick back up here. It's been kind of a little bit of a disastrous card so far. We got three matches remaining. We'll see if they can save it. But booking-wise, it's all over the map. But this next one actually had a good storyline behind it.
Yeah. It was continuing between these two teams. The two teams being the Dudley Boys, not involved in...
not booked.
Not booked. Not involved in the four-way. But that was fine. Like you said, need to change things up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. They were kind of distanced completely from the title picture for a while here. The feud with TNA and now this other feud going on. So they've kind of been bouncing around.
Yeah. And their opponent...
I don't do any tricks.
He could have been booked in this tournament. Dennis Stampin moving on to the final. Who knows? Taking on this newly revamped DX team of Road Dogg and X-Pac.
But I just jumped.
X-Pac.
Boo. The Dudley-DX feud would continue. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, and there's a special stipulation here, but give us the background.
Okay, the Dudley-DX feud would continue to heat up big time after Judgment Day. Mm-hmm. Throughout the course of the next few weeks, it seemed like DX always got the upper hand. One memorable moment took place on 6/12 Raw when the Dudleys faced the McMahon men in a tables match. Just as Vince was about to go for a ride, DX interfered, helped lay a beat down on the Dudleys. Tori put Bubba through a table twice, because the first time she went a bit too far and the table tipped over. Bubba made it look like he moved, but the botch was still there. And then a couple weeks later, DX actually loaded the Dudleys into a dumpster and shoved them off the ramp, a la the New Age Outlaws back to Cactus and McFoley back in 1998. So they kind of redid that bump there.
Yeah.
This time looked a little bit more real. They hit it a little bit better. So that is the setup for this feud. Continuing on, and as you said, there is a stipulation. It's a handicap tables match. Tables dumpster match.
Just so, slap some more stips on this thing.
The handicap dumpster, stipulation. Table. The handicap stipulation is that Tori is with X-Pac and Road Dogg, so it's 3-on-2. Okay. And I believe it was DX had to put them in the dumpster, but they had to put DX through the table. Was that what it was?
Yes.
That was a stip. I kind of like that. You don't get enough of that where one guy has to do one thing and the other guy's got to do another. Like, that seems like something they could do more often.
Yeah, and particularly when you've got teams that are specialized in these specific types of stips. So you're not, it doesn't bother you about that Road Dogg and X-Pac still kind of, you know, heavily involved in the tag team situation?
No, I don't mind that they're involved. The Dudleys were over enough. I thought maybe the Dudleys could have won here because it's weird that they take the loss, but then they end up getting Tori anyway, a powerbomb through a table, and that explains her absence. Tori was actually having some shoulder issues and needed a surgery, so this took her off camera now. I was all right with it. I mean, they're still being booked as a big deal with the Fact Gene, and I mean, X-Pac had been winning a ton of matches. By the way, this is where things were starting to get a little dicey as far as he goes with the fans. Because even like CRZ notes in a lot of his reviews at the time, X-Pac actually lost a match when he loses and stuff like that. So it was kind of slowly sinking in that he was winning a lot. But yes. I don't know. I thought they were fine, honestly. As much as I was done with the Outlaws, I kind of don't mind this team here. Kind of takes X-Pac out of the mid-card where he would have been lost. And I like the depth of the tag division, so I thought it was okay. They probably didn't need this win, especially after Judgment Day. So that to me, the finish here was a little odd, but it was nothing like offensive or anything.
Right. No, I mean, it was a fun match, slightly under 10 minutes. It wasn't terrible.
I stay fit, I watch what I eat.
Could have been fit for this match. Maybe he could have been the third guy on the Dudleys. He could have been the Tory role on the Dudleys with his pink polo shirt.
Because I never know when my next match is going to be.
You could have been booked in this tournament. Who knows? Maybe you could have wrestled in the ball pits in the airport carousels.
Oh, Jesus. All right, so DX wins. We kind of just want to see Tori go out. I felt like she had just really gotten going with the Fact Sheet. This is a weird show because the Fact Sheet had really dominated stuff since, we'll say January, but really March. March is when it kicked off, heading into Mania and then coming out of Mania. And it's kind of weird that it's breaking up a little bit here coming out of June. I really didn't expect it to end as early as it did. I thought it would last a little bit longer. But really after the show, starting the next night on Raw, they mix things up.
Mm-hmm. Yes, they do. They do. Well, like we said, I mean, they're just all over the place. They're all over the show. And you start seeing some major changes. Not major changes, but you start seeing a shift in camera time after this after the show. So, all right, so Road Dogg and X-Pac and Tori win, but Tori gets put through the table and she's gone. So.
She's gone.
All right. Guess what, JR? Back to the tournament.
Yay. Boo.
Rikishi.
I'm going to give you the Lakeside Arena microphone, filth ball. Little Peter Frampton?
That's exactly it. How about that, huh? He could sing in four different voices. How about that for overdubbing? So sorry, Steve Rogers.
Not really the end of the road, though.
Well, the end of the road of this tournament.
Yeah.
We're finally at the end of the road of having to talk
I
about
said, eh.
So, here's your final. For the throne and the...
Yeah, the throne, all right.
Yeah. Except this throne is white with a top. Kurt Angle and Rikishi.
Har, har, har.
Har, har, har. Do you think anybody thought Rikishi had a chance in this match?
Probably not, but you never know. Whenever they play up that underdog story, you never know. You know?
Well, I mean, you've pretty much said yourself that Kurt was pretty over anyway.
Look, I mean, Kurt was gonna win, obviously. I'm just saying, whenever they pull that underdog story shit,
you never know.
You never know. I'm not, I don't know.
Green Goose.
There we go. Butch Blackheart and Tony George teaming up against the Renegade Warriors.
Butch Blackheart?
Yeah. It looks like a
what
Butch.
What if they had merchandise global? Butch Blackheart t-shirt to go with Calvin Natt. Calvin Natt played for the Celtics.
I know. You said it already.
I know. I just find it funny that somebody took an NBA guy's name to be it. Maybe the guy's name was really Calvin Natt. Then he should have changed
Calvin Knapp was this guy's name. Knapp.
Oh, Knapp. Oh, I thought you said Nat.
Fucking idiot.
Calvin Knapp.
You're not your 1991 global wrestling superstars.
Fuck. Damn it. Captain Beefheart, or whatever you said. Bonnie Blackheart. Bonnie Blackstein.
They took this referee out of the 70s as well.
Oh. Really? He had a big
he's got this big poofy pompadour with a thick
poofy
beard.
Pompadour and no sideburns.
Actually, going to look to the other non-Paul Reiser dad from My Two Dads, only a fatter version.
Oh, great. Greg Evigan was the other dad.
Of course you know his name.
Of course I know that. Why wouldn't I?
My name is Greg Evigan. I'm one of the fathers of Stacy Carosi.
I'm the father nobody remembers.
I still don't get that. Like, I don't. She slept with him, like, on the same night? Is that the deal?
I guess. Slut.
I'll say. Mrs. Carosi.
Yeah. Oof. Usual. Of course, now in the modern day of if this was My Two Dads modern day version.
Yeah, it's called Modern Family.
Exactly. they wouldn't beat around the bush like they did back then. All right, so it's just under 6 minutes. Kurt actually wins with a superplex, which is actually pretty impressive.
This is a little trivia for you, Scott. I know you like to lob the Saved by the Bell trivia my way.
Mm-hmm.
I got one slightly tougher than the joke one you threw at me.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that one sucks.
What was Stacy Carosi's dad's name? Ran the beach club.
Oh, Christ. God.
And who played him?
Oh, that. Do I have time to go to Wikipedia? No, I'm only kidding. This must have been in the later years.
I guess it was one of the later.
After they got to college, if they were at the beach club.
No, it wasn't college. It wasn't that
like
late.
Late high school, I guess. Maybe the last year.
I think it was in between the junior and senior year.
Oh, I don't remember.
Leon Carosi.
Leon!
Portrayed by Ernie Sabella.
My God, that's right! The little bald dude.
Yep.
Oh my God, that's terrible.
He was also Mr. Twinkacetti in Perfect
Strangers. That's right, he was Mr. Twinkacetti. I was trying to think of the other fucking sitcom he was on. Yes, he was Mr. Twinkacetti.
Awful name.
I think we should change Matt's name to
Matt Twinkacetti.
Lumpy Twinkacetti. Grey Goose. All right. So, getting out of the 80s sitcoms, how far did My Two Dads go anyway? Did it start in the 80s? I guess it did, huh? 89, 88?
Yeah, I'm not sure.
It's interesting.
You can count.
So,
I could do that again.
So there we go. Kurt Angle.
Yeah.
Wins the
superplex, which I thought was kind of a cool finish.
Yes, it was.
It was and he worked the shoulder and kind of, actually, he doesn't really work it too much, but it was just a mess. I mean, the win is kind of, the whole thing is no one looked good. No one looked good here. Benoit looked dumb, got DQ'd. Jericho's a moron, kissed Stephanie, lost. Rikishi's garbage, he got a cheap win and they got killed in the finals. Val goes nowhere. Eddie's stuck in neutral. Crash is a jobber. And Angle beat nobody. Who looks strong coming out of this tournament anyway?
Really, nobody.
No one.
Nobody.
Nobody looked good. No one benefited from this tournament. You have 8 guys in a tournament, and not one came out looking better than when they entered.
Nope. Everything was level.
And Bull lost to Crash, so he looked awful, too.
Yes. Terrible.
Just, yeah. Poorly booked.
Something else to say.
If I would have done it, I definitely would have had... If you had to use these 8, I would have made sure that those 4 that we talked about end up in the semis. You have Kurt, Jericho. I would have kept that for the finals. You have Benoit Guerrero mixed in there as well. And then you have Kurt go over Jericho in the finals. That was a well-built feud heading in. You could still do the same finish if you want with Stephanie and do all the stuff with Kurt you want to do. But just make that the final instead of this. You have Rikishi go down due to injury to Benoit in the first round. You have Eddie beat Val. And then you split up Crash and Bull if those are the 2 guys you have to have in here. You have Jericho beat Bull and you have Kurt beat Crash in the first round.
Right.
Would have been a much better tournament. Yep. Especially if you buzz a little bit through the first round, then you give the final 4 some time. Exactly. If you got to take out the poop stain disaster, you do that. You put that on Raw.
Exactly. Slap in the shaft.
Yeah.
Slap
on the base.
But you know what's even more important, JR, than this? My Two Dads was from 1987 to 1990.
Oh. Good run.
And Giovanni Ribisi was on the show, too.
And so was Dick Butkus.
Yes, he was. And Chad Allen, wherever he was.
Okay. I think he's on this global show I'm watching.
And it was a crossover with Night Court.
It was. The judge.
The judge.
She was friends with Harry.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Kurt Angle.
According to this, the two dads were just competing for the woman's affection.
Yeah, sure. They were both banged her at some bathroom bar.
That was it. Who cares?
So Kurt's your king, and the ceremony will be the next night in Worcester, which we'll talk about a moment later. So,
yes.
King Kurt Angle, very fitting, and I thought it was a good choice because he's someone who would really play it up and ham it up as king and add it to his repertoire of gold that he's earned since he debuted.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So I like the outcome, don't like the process.
And this makes sense because I don't think anybody else would have played it up any better. This is the last King of the Ring in which we get a throne and a robe and all that.
Yep. Also the last one to have 8 matches on pay-per-view.
Yes. Yep.
It's been spotty.
Yeah.
99, we went back to it after a 3-year absence.
Mm-hmm.
So this will be the last time.
Yes. All right. Time for our main event.
Now time for the Rob Houston Memorial Hacksaw Jim Duggan Update.
I got my 2x4.
Vince Kennedy McMahon Jr. here with your Hacksaw Jim Duggan WCW Rob Houston YMCA Bishop Hendrick and Memorial Fuckface Update. June 22nd, 2002, in Mississauga, Montana, Jim Duggan defeated Fit Finley. On Spokane, Washington, June 23rd, 2000, Jim Duggan defeated Fit Finley. Somehow Jim Duggan is a TV champion at this point. I'm sure he found it in the trash or something stupid. That'd be my guess. Des Moines, Iowa, Veterans Memorial Auditorium, June 26th, he lost to Bill Goldberg. Griscola, how's it going?
I'm great, VKM.
How's it hanging?
It's hanging pretty low.
The chain hang low like Jibs.
Yes, hanging low like Shaft. How was your weekend? Any good parties?
Always awesome. You know me. I'm always out hitting the clubs, hitting the towns, chilling.
Hey, Claire.
Actually, I had a little bit of a ride. Claire and I went out. We like to try different cities, different clubs. So we actually took a ride up to Niagara Falls to check out the clubs there. Oh. So we had some time out in the limo. So I actually threw on one of your podcasts, Scott.
Oh, okay. Good.
And I don't know. So anyway, I was listening, and during the break, I heard an ad for the show Where the Big Boys Play. So I figured maybe, you know, a little something exciting with big boys. That's what me and Claire like to do, play. Go play at the clubs, play at the strip clubs. So I put it on, listen to it, and I find out it's about fucking AWA. And these guys are glorifying this fucking shit, Griscola. That fucking nonsense went out of business like 50 years ago.
Bought him out, VK.
I bought all the talent and buried him. I pissed on the grave of Vern Gagne.
Oh, he's not dead.
Tap dance on the grave of Greg Gagne. Talk about tag team wrestling. Remember the High Flyers, Criscolo?
I do.
Remember when me and Shane showed up and beat the shit out of him in Minneapolis?
He did? Yes, you did.
That was an awesome time.
Yes, it was.
Criscolo, I can't believe people actually sit there and pretend that this was a good promotion. Got these old fucking fat faces like Jerry Blackwell rolling around like a pig on the apron. Fucking Nick Bockwinkel with a 25-minute sleeper hold. Christ. I won't watch that shit. Coach got more viewers in Minnesota than the AWA did. Speaking of Coach Criscolo, have I ever told you about my fan fiction?
Yes, you did. About the coach? About Coach, yes.
Oh, okay. Anyway, AWA, Criscolo, I can prove you up and down all day and night that my version of sports entertainment is better than that bullshit Northeastern fucking sycophant fucking fuckface wrestling that they put on. I want you to read me some of the most famous matches in AWA history, and I will tell you a WWF matchup exceeds the quality of that match.
All right, well, there's Super Sunday 1983 in St. Paul when Nick Bockwinkel took on Hulk Hogan. Remember him, VKM?
Well, I'll give you June 1st, 1990 at Birmingham, Alabama at the Civic Center where Tugboat defeated Black Bart. Next.
Okay. Vern Gagne, Mad Dog Vachon beat Jerry Blackwell and Sheik Adnan El Casey.
June 3rd, 1990, West Palm Beach, Florida, Coco Beware defeats the Genius.
Jesse Ventura, Ken Patera, and Blackjack Lanza beat Rick Martel, Jim Brunzel, and Greg Gagne.
Binghamton, New York, June 6, 1990, Pez Watley defeats Sonny Austin. Top that, Bockwinkel.
Bob Backlund and Brad Raines defeat Larry Zbysko and Butch Reed at Star Cage 85.
Providence, Rhode Island, June 15, 1990, Sato defeats Mario Jannetty. One more. Go ahead. Bring it on.
AWA World Champion Stan Hansen defeated a guy by the name of Leon White, who would end up being Vader.
Miami, Florida, June 17, 1990, the Warlord defeated Tito Santana. I don't think it's any choice, Criscolo. If you were putting a comp tape together, so all the matches you said are the matches I said, hands down, my tape wins.
You know, VKM, got some good talent there. Got some good talent. Oh, what about this one? I think I have one more for you. The Midnight Rockers defeat Buddy Rose and Doug Summers in a steel cage match for the World Tag Titles.
Please. Chicago, Illinois, June 23rd, the Brooklyn Brawler defeats Jim Brunzel all day and night.
What do you think, Claire? No, he's drinking Grand Marnier.
I got Michael Vincent burning copies of this tape as we speak. Get ready. He'll be on the streets by tomorrow.
Yeah, better be careful he burns anything. Where the stadies come. Ooh!
I don't want to talk about Criscolo.
No, I don't want to get into it. It's a long story. I think you need
AWA stands for always washed up assholes. That's all I know, Criscolo. I'm out of here, bitch. What's that, Claire? Who? I don't give a fuck about him. AWA is on where? What the hell's ESPN? If it wasn't on USA, I don't know it. It's the only cable network I own. USA and TNT, so I can monitor Nitro. That's it. I have two TVs in my house, one on each channel permanently. I ended up staying up late last night. I was watching The Good Wife. You ever see that show? That shit's fucked up, man. What? Yeah. Yeah, that one. I didn't think there was such a thing as A Good Wife. I don't know what that shit's about, but it was a pretty good sci-fi show anyway. Shots fired in the big boys play.
Wow.
Well, you know, Vince does have a thing for hillbillies.
Yeah, and that's where you and him, a rare disagreement of opinion between you and him hillbillies. On hillbillies.
Speaking of hillbillies, I was talking to Chad Campbell last night, and he went outside for like a second, and it was like he was in Jurassic Park. There was like all the fucking 8 million crickets around. I was waiting for him to just fucking like disappear from the phone like Newman in Jurassic Park.
All he needs Ashley Cruz's 57 dogs barking in the background.
I guess so. What the fuck?
Everything was all set. Jesus Christ.
It was like a fucking E.T. fly to the moon or some shit.
I didn't realize The Good Wife was on right after SmackDown.
No, I think it's on after Nitro.
Jesus.
Is that even on TNT, The Good Wife? What
no, it's on CBS.
Oh. I thought it was a cable show.
No, that's The Closer. Wait, that's not even on anymore either. Thought he was watching like La Femme Nikita.
Those are the days.
Didn't he own every? I think he owns every box set of Silk Stockings.
He should. It's a great show. Rob Estes.
That's right. Rob Estes went from that to 90210. All right. Time for our main event. What? There's a lot to go here. this was a lot going on here. Even this main event has been overbooked fuckfest. The World Wrestling Federation Championship on the line. Your champion, the aforementioned Spice Girl himself, Triple Spice, taking on a bunch of fucking guys. JR, before we actually say the match, why don't we get into the background of what the fuck was going on here?
All right. After Judgment Day, the Undertaker made his full-time return. His presence was known by harassing the Fashim, especially Vince and Triple H. On the 529 Raw, Taker and Rock would face off at a Lumberjack match, but a few minutes into the match, immediately set their sights on the Lumberjacks. They would eventually be outnumbered. Kane would make his return and lay everyone out, including Triple H. On SmackDown that week, Triple H, Shane, and Vince, without knowing what the other was doing, made promises to Kane, Rock, and Undertaker respectively that if each man won their respective match that evening, they'd become the number one contender at King of the Ring. Well, all three were successful. The fact Gene realized the mess they created. Shit hit the fan. On 6-5, Rock, Kane, and Taker faced off in a triple threat match, with the winner becoming the number one contender and would face Triple H later that evening. Triple H interfered and actually ended up helping Rock win the match by laying out Kane and Taker with a chair. However, Rock would lose later in the evening due to Taker and Kane's interference. The next week, Rock, Taker, and Kane were in the ring ready to explode when Linda came out, told all three to unite and take down the Faction. Vince came out to protest her recent actions and her appearance that evening, and Linda responded by making the main event for the pay-per-view, which would be here. It would be all three men, Kane, Undertaker, and Rock, taking on Vince McMahon, Shane McMahon, and Triple H. And originally, Triple H declared that, you know what, the winner of this match will become, if anyone is able to pin a member of the Faction team, they'll become the number one contender for the next month. And like I said earlier, if the Faction won, the King of the Ring winner would be the number one contender.
Right.
So, with that all said, those guys all had a face-off to earn their slot in the match, and they all won their respective matches. With all handicap matches with the numbers against them. Kane defeated the Hardys. Undertaker defeated Bull and Boss Man. And,
Bull and Dump.
Yes, Bull and Dump. And who did The Rock beat? He TNA. He defeated TNA.
Yeah.
Well, Linda then came out and said, well, you know what? How about this? We're going to make this, instead of the number one contender shot on the line, we're going to put the title on the line. It was actually a fax received by Vince. So now the title would be on the line here. Triple H was not happy, and he was really starting to question Vince. Kind of was sarcastically saying, oh, yeah, Vince is a genius. He's a genius. We know he's whatever. He knows everything, blah, blah, blah. But you could tell he was getting a little pissed off.
Kind of the way he's saying things 13 years later.
Right, yeah, same shit, right. On 6/22 SmackDown, these teams met in the main event. Within minutes, though, Bull Buchanan, DX, Kurt Angle, Edge, Christian, Val, and TNA all came out. Led to a big brawl, which ended with Vince pinning The Rock with the Vince's elbow. The whole thing was kind of a mess. Added a little bit of mystery. It was kind of weird to think Vince or Shane, like that team was so, the teams just were not stacked at all. You know, it's a Vince, Shane, and Triple H against Rock, Undertaker, and Kane. Yeah. But the thing that Triple H played up was that, you know what? Those guys all want to win the title. So they're not going to get along. They're going to be fighting and going at it.
Whereas, each other's pins.
Exactly. Whereas we're going to be as a united team because we all want the title to stay here within the fact team. So, pretty good stuff, I thought, as far as build-up goes, even though it's a little haphazard and all over the place. What did you think of Taker at this point, though? Did you enjoy him coming back, or did you think he already seemed kind of, I don't know, some of the mystique is gone?
He was definitely off.
Fat.
Yeah, there was definitely something. I mean, obviously, this would begin what would be a 13-year odyssey of Taker battling injuries and kind of having to work out certain ways. Because it was clear when he came back that he was a little pudgy. It wouldn't be as bad as it would be like in 2001 when he really looked bad. But these next 18 months would not be good to the dead man in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. Because not only would you see him in the ring look very sluggish, but for the first time, probably in his career, Undertaker got a little political. But that wouldn't happen until the next year. We'll get to that when we get there. But usually he's not like that. But he kind of pulled a power play, but more on that when we get there in about a year. But right now his problem is he just doesn't look good in the ring. We don't know what his injuries were. Obviously he never really healed that broken foot from '98. Groin issues, upper leg issues, calves, hammies, that kind of thing, quads. So he was not very mobile. you would have thought he would have at least worked out a little bit, but maybe he did, maybe he didn't, who knows, but he just didn't look right. He looked big and he looked bloated and puffy. He didn't look like streamlined. Even in 99 when he was like, when he couldn't move, he at least looked a little trim when he had that tight, you know, outfit on. But here, you know, like you even mentioned it at Judgment Day, he's big, denim shirt and this huge overcoat and he's like all big. Something wasn't right. The gimmick, it took me a while actually. I think I was just numb because the whole product was going well, that it was, I was numb to the fact that this, that the American Badass thing was 50-50. I don't want to say it was a failure because at least you, let's be honest, it was easier to book Taker because now he, you know, the whole aura thing of Dead Man was gone for the time being. He can actually lose matches. And maybe not have to lose them, you know, cheap all the time. So there was an advantage.
What did you think, though, about Undertaker and Kane being back in the mix in the title picture here?
Kane, I think, deserved it.
Yeah, but I think we have all these young, hot talents, and then we're back to Taker, Kane, Triple H, Rock. It just kind of felt like, all right.
Well, we would really see a bad side of that the following month. Well, not bad side, but we would see a very critical.
No, but at least those guys would get involved.
Right.
I feel like here, it's just like, I don't know. Taker just, it was cool to see him back, but already kind of the interest was waning on my end already. Like, I just, he wasn't in great shape, and even some of his promos were kind of like, all right, you know, my yard, coming out here, it's my title, I'm the man here, and kind of acting like, I don't know. Maybe it just took some adjusting to the character, but I just feel like it wasn't clicking right away, and I feel like he had been really good character-wise at the end of 99. Or mid 99 with all the, when he was doing the hybrid kind of Satan kind of not stuff.
Right.
And, yeah.
Yeah. And the fact that we had to get every single guy in this match just, I think, ruined it. Maybe they didn't want a third straight month. I mean,
you
obviously
couldn't, you couldn't do Triple H Rock again. You Rock had to do something.
Yeah.
So maybe on that hand, it's okay. Did you think it was stupid to have the stip the way it was? Like, because, you know, we'll just get the finish. Rock pins Vince with a rock bottom at 1754. So I'm kind of torn on this because I kind of don't like that they had Rock regain it without pinning Triple H to put that to bed. But on the flip side, I thought it paid off the story well and was a perfect setup to break up the faction. Having Vince put this stip in place pretty much, or accepting the stip from Linda, Triple H had been questioning him all along. Vince kept telling him, it's fine, I know what I'm doing. And then he ends up eating the pin. And Triple H just goes ballistic. So I right. thought that was pretty well done on that end.
Well, had they delivered on what they should have done to Triple H, and we'll go over that over the next couple of vaults, then this was awesome.
Right.
But they don't. So then it made no sense. But for the time being, if they were planning on doing what you and I thought they should have done with Triple H's character over the next, you know, through the summertime into almost through September, then this was fine. Then they were setting up something pretty special and pretty engaging. But they didn't end up not doing that. And just the overdoing of guys in this match. Just so many people, and it was just so slow. And at least 18 minutes, it seemed like a long,
yeah,
a long 18 minutes. I don't know if this match is on any DVDs. It probably is.
Well, it just sucks that...
It actually might be on one of Rock's two DVDs, I think.
It just sucks that we did, you know, for the first time in a while, we didn't really have a main event that could save the show. And this one, just the way it was set up, this is on the Best of King of the Ring DVD.
Is it really? I have that DVD. I haven't thrown that in a while. I don't remember that match being on. Oh, yeah, it was on there. That's right. I do remember now when I watched it.
And actually, Angle Rikishi's on that as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that I remember. I have that set. It's pretty cool.
By the way, we need to go back and just mention really quick. The Edge and Christian 5-second bows on this night was making fun of Bill Buckner.
Yes, making fun of Bill Buckner. I had mentioned that briefly at Judgment Day. That's right, yeah. They were wearing Red Sox and Mets jerseys, and they did the ball go through the leg and that kind of thing, yeah. Yeah, to me, it's just a whole question of all these guys, just so many bodies, and they felt they had to jam all these dudes on this match, and I can't stand title matches where the guy doesn't get pinned. Not triple threats. But this kind of silly nonsense was just, this was just throwing the McMahon family just all over the screen. And that bothered me. Now, if they were going to do, as we just said, if they were going to do with Triple H's character what they could have done over the next 3 months, then all right, I can stick, you know, I can suck it up because it's leading to something at least. But then they didn't do it, what they were supposed to do, what they could have done. And then it would have made total sense. Just stupid. Stupid.
You know, I left tickets for Bill Buckner, but he couldn't bend over to pick them up. How about it?
That's awesome. By the way, he still was in Cooperstown induction weekend. They might as well just let him walk across the street and go in since nobody else was there. Trying to catch up with all the guns. We were so disillusioned by this match. You forgot all the guns.
So Rock is a champion again. Triple H doesn't take the loss.
Does this hurt Rock's...
Not
legacy, yeah. But does this hurt this year for him?
No, I don't think so.
No?
No. Originally, I thought maybe it would, but it doesn't. I mean, like I said, the story plays up to it. And Triple H is in the match, so it's not like he just pinned Vince and won the title in a singles match or something like that, so... he's already proven he can beat Triple H. I think it's okay. I think the story was more to get over that Triple H had trusted Vince, and Vince really fucked up. And speaking of fucked up, Houston, it was up 7-1. The Red Sox are now up 8-7. Fucking terrible.
What is this, on ESPN? Are you watching?
Nesson.
God.
Yeah, crazy game. Yeah.
MLB, like Dodgers Cardinals or something?
Yeah. It's been a good game. It's just, I don't really care about it.
Are the Astros wearing their orange jerseys, or are they just wearing their plain whites?
The whites.
Oh, okay. I like their uniforms. They were the greatest uniform upgrade 2013.
I would agree. So there is your show, Rock is Champ. Disappointing. Very disappointing.
You know what makes it funny? Our good friend and managing editor of PlaceToBeNation.com, Brad Woodling, today goes, "This was the worst of the non-big pay-per-views." To say to him, "I hate to tell you, Brad, this actually was one of the big five."
Yeah.
God, it was.
This is easily the worst show of the year and the worst show since probably Survivor Series, I would say.
Yeah.
Disappointing all around. You know, you would have liked to see more. Just smart booking. Just a hiccup. I mean, luckily they're so hot right now that it's not going to make a difference, and it's just a blown chance to deliver a classic pay-per-view, and we chug right along, and they'd be right back at it next month, which we'll talk about next week. So,
yeah.
Any final thoughts before we wrap?
If you never have to watch this show, don't. There's really not one match to take away from it. It's really not. And I feel bad for the guys in this tournament that kind of got shafted around. But congratulations to Kurt. He earned it. He deserves it. But we could have just had better matches. Simple as that. The booking was not complicated. They could have made this very simple, and they didn't. They overthought themselves.
All right, Scott, there is your review of King of the Ring 2000. No feedback tonight, only because we're going to do two big trivia matchups. That is right. We are wrapping up the Elite Eight, and the Final Four will be set after tonight.
Yes.
So why don't we listen to those, Scott? We'll come back, and we'll wrap things up. All right, Nation, we are back with match number 3 in the 2013 PTB Nation Trivia Tournament Elite 8. And we got a war set up here for you tonight. And I'm not going to hype it too much because I don't want to go all Mr. Perfect Shawn Michaels SummerSlam 93 on us, Scott. And no. Hype this thing to no end and then it fizzles out. But the man we're going to bring in first was involved in possibly the greatest trivia matchup in the history of the Place to Be podcast, Mr. Mike Poulin. Mike, how are you?
I am doing fine. How about you?
Good. Now, you went perfect last round, if I remember correctly.
Well, yes, I did.
And it was like 18 of 18 or some shit. So we'll see how you do tonight, because you get some stiff competition from down under, from Wodonga, Australia, Mr. Michael McDonald. Michael, how are you doing?
Very good. How are you? I went perfect, too.
You did go perfect, but it was not as impressive as Mr. Poulin. I'm sorry.
Oh. But
you're here.
You know what? I'll give you credit, McDonald. It's not your fault.
Gotten one wrong for the entire tournament.
Okay, I'll give you credit.
Neither have I.
9 from 10.
Yeah, neither's Poulin. Poulin's had tougher competition, and that's right. I'm slagging everyone you faced, McDonald. I'm calling them out. Putting them on the deck.
I'm like, Jay Hinchy will appreciate that.
Yeah, it's a dig right at Hinchy, baby.
On the poop deck.
It's Hinchy and his stupid Braves. All right, here we go. Okay. Easy, medium, hard. Scott, who's up first?
All right. Well, of course, we'll briefly mention that to get here, we already know who they played and beat, defeated in the first round. Mr. McDonald defeated Mr. Flaherty in the second round. While, as we all know, the war to settle the score, Mr. Poulin took out Ryan Schmuck in a war. And Mike, you are Mike Poulin. You are 11-for-11 in this tournament.
All righty.
Really, so. It felt like 100 that last game. He only had, it was only 8 rounds.
Only 8 rounds.
Wow.
Yep.
Felt like a lot more.
Well, 3 and then 5 overtimes. So,
yeah. Felt like
all right,
more.
Mr. Poulin, you will go first, Mike.
All
I
right.
have to be Mr. here. So, Mr. Poulin, you will go first, and then front man for the Doobies, you will go second. You will be the home team in the innings, and of course, we'll go back and forth. The winner goes to the Final Four. Mr. Poulin, pick a number between 1 and 140.
I shall choose number 1 once more.
Okay. Okay, 10 seconds.
All righty.
Highlight it here. Oh, why this isn't working. Stand by. See what this fits here. There we go. Okay, 10 seconds. Who turned his back on the Ultimate Warrior while teaching him about the dark side in the summer of 1991?
Jake the Snake Roberts.
Pretty good.
All right, 1-0.
12 for 12. All right, Mr. McDonald, you have back-to-backs here. Start off with an easy. Pick a number.
We'll go number 32.
32. Okay. There we go. All right. 10 seconds. Who ended the Brother Love show by destroying the set and Brother Love himself on an episode of Superstars in early 1991?
The Ultimate Warrior.
All right. Business as usual. One up. Let's go.
Now we move on to the mediums. Mr. McDonald, pick a number between 1 and 191.
I'm going to take number 1.
Okay.
Shoot.
I think Price is right.
Yeah. Who dressed as the Spider Lady? This is 20 seconds now. Who dressed as the Spider Lady to screw Wendy Richter out of the Women's Championship in November 1985?
Everybody's favorite geriatric, because she kept her clothes on, the Fabulous Moolah.
So nice. High five.
All right. 2-1.
No shock so far. Mr. Poulin, you have back-to-back. You're in the mediums. Pick a number between 1 and 191.
2.
Okay. All right. 20 seconds.
Already.
Besides Lord Steven Regal, name 2 other members of the WCW Troika known as the Blue Bloods.
The one and only Bobby Eaton and Squire Dave Taylor.
Yes! Yes! Yes!
Okay, no surprise here. We move to the Hards. Knotted up at 2. Poulin, yes. To put the pressure on McDonald here.
Pick a number between 1 and 202, and you're 13 for 13 now.
You gonna pick Mike?
Oh, is it me or him?
You, buddy. You.
It's you.
Oh.
You.
We'll go with 13.
13? Okay. You have 30 seconds, and use it all. Take your time. Although you usually haven't used time much, so. All right. Whom was Jimmy Snuka facing the first time he tried the Superfly Splash off the top of a steel cage?
Mr. Bob Backlund.
All right. 3-2. Mr. McDonald needs this to go to overtime. If he loses or gets this wrong, Mr. Poulin's in the Final Four.
Pick a number, Mike.
Okay. Number 40.
40. Okay.
Pressure's on.
Pressure's on. All right. Stand by. Hold on. Okay. A little issue with the document here. Okay, here we go. You have 30 seconds.
Yeah, right, probably going to use it.
It's okay. There's plenty
probably
of
gonna
it.
Use it.
What was the name of the short-lived WBF TV show that aired on USA in 1992?
Oh, motherfucker.
20 seconds.
Yeah, I'm cooked. It's going to be something basic. I'm just going to say Showdown. I don't know. I honestly don't know.
It's all there, black and white, clear as crystal. You get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
Mr. Mike Poulin advances. The correct answer was WBF Body Stars. Of course, starring the great Cameo. What's on there? Cameo, of course. So Mr. Poulin stays perfect as he rolls into the final four. Scott, three are in, one more to be determined. Mr. McDonald, hell of a run here this year, and nothing to hang your head in shame about, sir.
No, yeah, fucking WBF.
It's a hard. Those hards will get you.
I'm not that one either.
All right.
I didn't even know they'd gotten to TV. I thought they just did a pay-per-view and then bombed, and that was it. I didn't even know they got to TV.
Oh, they were on TV, baby, for about 6 months or so.
Mm.
So,
it was unwatchable crap, but it was a show.
yes, it was. All right, guys. Good job. Mr. Poulin will be in touch. McDonald, take care, brother.
Good luck with everything, man.
Scott, let's take a break. We'll come back and wrap up. This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, your pop culture home. All right, Nation, we are back with the final matchup in the Elite Eight of the 2013 Place to Be Nation Trivia Tournament. And Scott, we got a humdinger to wrap things up here.
Yes.
As we date and find out who the final four participants will be. Three are in, one remains. Now we bring in the one and only Mr. Aaron George. Aaron, how are you?
I'm doing great, boys. You guys?
We're doing just fine, sir. Just fine. Thanks for asking. And Aaron's opponent, the biggest heel in Place to Be Nation, Mr. Derek Cornett. Derek, how are you?
Good evening, ladies and germs.
All right. Now, Mr. Cornett, of course, on record, being very brash about this whole thing. And we'll see if Mr. George can upset him. And Aaron, I will say to you that Place to Be Nation turns their eyes to you to take down this heel jackass, Mr. Derek Cornett.
All right, let's do this.
All right, Scott, flip that coin. Who's up first?
All right. Mr. Cornett, you are up first.
Oof. And it's then, like war games.
Like war games. Then Aaron George, you will go second. You'll be the bottom of the innings. You.
Oh, this is the 91 edition.
Both of you win this. One of you win this. You are complete the final four.
All right. Easy, medium, hard for this round.
Yes. Mr. Cornett, pick a number between 1 and 140.
3.
Okay. You have 10 seconds. What baseball legend had altercations with Kane at 3 different WrestleManias?
Hey, I know this one. Pete Rose.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, this isn't a baseball question now? Now it's a wrestling question? You're okay with it?
Yeah,
shocking. Shocking, Mr. Cornett.
Hall of Fame, what can I say?
All right, he's got one. Mr. George, you are back-to-back. Pick a number.
Let's go 11.
Okay, number 11. Okay, 10 seconds. Which wrestler was electrocuted by Evolution in 2003 and subsequently developed a stuttering problem?
Gold Dust.
All right, very good, sir. 1-1, and Aaron, you'll kick us off into the mediums now.
Pick a number between 1 and 191.
Let's go 11 again.
Okay. 20 seconds. Oof. Name one of the universities represented on a letter jacket worn by a member of WCW's varsity club.
Michigan.
Pretty good.
Of course, the others were Syracuse, Oklahoma, and Georgia, along with Michigan.
Okay. Mr. Cornett, You were in the mediums. Pick a number.
Go with number one.
Okay. All right. You see the question there, JR. I'm going to need your help with this one because you say his name better than anybody. In early 1991,
Kanto
replaced
Sato
alongside Tanaka in the Orient Express. What AWA stalwart and former tag partner of Tanaka was under the mask?
Paul Diamond.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Okay.
I thought you were going to ask me the team.
No.
You wish.
That better not be a medium question.
I don't think so.
All right.
All right. It is 2-2. Mr. Cornette, you are in the hards. Pick a number between 1 and 202.
6.
Okay.
Ooh, I like this one.
I like this one too. All right. You get 30 seconds. Which team won the only XFL championship?
Do I need to know the mascot?
No.
I'll say Chicago.
It was the Los Angeles Extreme, led by Tommy Maddox, future
yes.
NFL player.
Yes. Past and future, both of them. All right, Mr. George.
To put it away.
Here's the scenario. You get this right, the heel is vanquished. You get it wrong, you still get a second shot, but he gets to match. Pick a number.
Go 11, one last time.
Okay. 30 seconds for the win. Who won the second season of Tough Enough?
Jackie Gaeta and Linda Miles.
Nice.
Hey, I may have the winner. Get the winner.
He's done. It's over. Aaron George to the final four. Derek Cornette again tripped up.
Yep.
You got to brush up on your your fringe wrestling stuff.
It happens. It was all in good fun, fellas. I'll go back to being a nice guy.
All right, sounds good. You can turn heel again next year, like Shawn Michaels every year before WrestleMania.
Yes. We need a big feud
for that one pay per view.
That one big payoff. All right, and like a good heel, you jobbed as always. So, okay, Mr. George, congratulations. We'll be talking to you to set up the final four. Mr. Cornette, we'll talk to you in a year.
Adios.
All right, Scott, let's wrap this shit up after this quick break.
Let's do it.
Ding dong, the witch is dead, Mr. Criscolo.
Wow. The water heel thrown on the melted.
Yes, the main event heel has gone down as Aaron George vanquishes Derek Cornette back to the hole in Iowa that he resides from. And now Aaron will take on one of the other three. Of course, Mike Poulin advancing over Michael McDonald. Steve Willie.
14 for 14.
Amazing.
That's ridiculous.
Steve Willie and Ryan Everett.
Yep.
That is your final four. So those will come at you probably 2 weeks' time. I don't think we're going to have any. Obviously none tomorrow night, and there'll be none next week as well. So the week after that, we should have your finals in place for you. So,
yes.
That said, we're going to go ahead and wrap things up tomorrow night. Scott will be back with a big episode tomorrow night.
Yes.
Kevin Kelly in the house.
Yep.
We're going to talk about Ring of Honor.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about first half of 2000. So that should be a lot
talk
of fun.
About this show.
Yeah, a lot to talk about Kevin over this year. We got a big list to go through. He's always great. Always gives us a lot of time. He's always very patient with your antics. Yeah. Next week, Monday night, we have the SummerSlam Old School Roundtable like we did for WrestleMania. We have a good mix, a good group of guys. We'll reveal that next week. And then Wednesday night is our headline show. We're going to preview SummerSlam this year's edition, get some news and notes, maybe we'll talk a little steroid then. And then Greg Phillips from PlaceToBeNation.com will be joining us. We'll give his bio a little bit, talk to him, see what he's about. And of course, he's one of our great comics guys. He was the hard-traveling fanboys with Nick Duke as well. So we'll talk to Greg, again, get his background as a wrestling fan, as a comics guy and all that that's entailed. Let's go ahead and wrap things up, Scott. Another great episode in the books.
Yes.
Please visit PlaceToBeNation.com, Facebook at PlaceToBeNation, or you can visit PlaceToBe Podcast on Facebook. We have the live chats group, always things going on, and on Twitter at PlaceToBeNation. So, for Scott Criscolo, I am Justin Rosero.
Police Nation. Take care. Talk to you tomorrow night with KK.
I wonder if Vince is watching AWA in the limo right now.
Probably not. It doesn't seem like he liked it very much.
Yeah. Wonder what they keep in the limo. Do we even want to know?
Probably.
Wonder if Michael Vincent loans it to them. That I gotta do. Do what the hell I want and have no one to listen to. I'm prompt with my business and I do things on the double. Yo, I'm out like Buster Douglas. I say peace to MC Trouble. Rest in peace. Word up. Rest in peace. And you know what else? We got the vibe. All the people in Long Island, we got the vibe. Brooklyn and Queens, we got the vibe. Uptown and Nauru, we got the vibe. For upstate, we got the vibe. If you're in D.C., you got the vibe. Virginia, Carolina, vibe. Out west, we got the vibe. In the Bahamas, we got the vibe. Over in Europe, you know what? We got the vibe. We got a lot it goes on. Of rap, I'm a fan. I've seen a whole lot of slumps. Good with the girls. I get a whole lot of bottom fat to skinny. Frida to Winnie, Emma to Cindy, Constance to Wendy, cause I be real friendly, never on the snotty side. I don't brag to brothers about the little tapes I got. My couple styles can vary, the sight is never scary, it's only legendary. My father well prepared me, my job ain't temporary. I'm here for the long shot, better yet the long term. I don't have a perm, in a way I do, call them the permanaps. I'm crazy, slap happy, and I'm scrappy, and I'm happy. When I get the mic in my hand with the crowd in the stand, it's as good as grand like that. Y'all want to say peace and dedicate this joint to MC Trouble and to Trouble T. Roy and to Scott LaRock and to Cowboy. You know what I'm saying? This is for the slain rappers and the fallen rappers. You know what I'm saying? This is a special dedication. And also to my pops and also to Vinny's moms. You know what I'm saying? You just got to keep it happy and keep the vibe going. Because this is vibes and stuff. And we out.